Vov Tishrei, Tuesday the 30th of September, Dayan Levi Yitzchok Raskin, Halachas for Yom Kippur and Sukkos.
Vov Tishrei in Lubavitch is a special day, especially this year, that it is the Lubavitch Rebbe has a yahrzeit for his mother. It's the 50th year. She passed away Tovshin Chof Hei. And so it's appropriate to say a Dvar Torah of her. Her husband was Chaim.
Can you use the mic, please? I don't see
you. I'll speak louder. Her husband was Reb Levi Yitzchok Schneerson, who was the Rav in Dnepropetrovsk, Yekaterinoslav. Personally, my father, Harina Kaporos Mishkovoy, had the zchus of being mishamish, of serving the Reb Levi Yitzchok in his last few months in Almaty, in Kazakhstan. And I'm named after this Reb Levi Yitzchok, so I just want to give over a word, which he went to Reb Chaim Brisker to get his smicha, and Reb Chaim gave him a rough time. And one of the ways Reb Chaim would test for smicha, he would have his bis medrash, bis hayroah. And someone would come in with a shayla, and he'd turn to the candidates for smicha. No, what do you say, paskin? So it was sukkah's time, and someone came in. They live in an apartment building. Several Yiddish people live in that building. They have a sukkah in the grounds of the apartment building. But they forgot to make an Eid of Chatzeres. Shabbos, during Sukkot, what is the solution for them to be able to eat in the Sukkah without having had an Eid of? And so Reb Chaim turns to Reb Levik, as he was known. What do you say? So he says that the Sukkah itself is the Eid of. Normally, how do you make an Eid of Chatzeres? You take a loaf of bread, a box of matzah, and your makne and koine, and it becomes everyone's joint asset. And that merges them all into a single entity. Here, he argued that the sukkah, because they are all intending to use the one sukkah, there was only one sukkah, therefore the sukkah itself acts as the Eid of. And Reb Chaim was very impressed. He liked it. He accepted it. Well, he gave me probably there were more things than this, but this was one of the shilas which were brought up then. The Rebbe repeated this on a number of occasions, this anecdote. And later it was actually pointed out that this Me'iri in Erevin, a fine Zion somewhere, says this very same word, that when there's a group of people who are sharing a chotzer and didn't make an Erev, but they are sharing a sukkah, so the sukkah is the mi'arev. Bashgucha protis, I was learning yesterday, Simen Tof Reish Lamed Dalet, with Mr. Brura, Mr. Brura, and actually the discussion here is about a small sukkah, or a big sukkah, and your table's inside the house. That's really why I was interested, because a lot of us may have ample sized sukkahs, but the table may be just in the house, or just, you know, half the roof is closed and half is open. You want to protect from the rain a little bit, whatever. So what is the status of the sukkah, half in the table, half in the sukkah, half in the house? So that's the discussion here. But then it comes Derech Agav, which the Mishnah Berurah is quoting from the Primigodim. Misha yeshloi sukkah basode, somuch lebeisoi. If you have a sukkah in a field, like Bikforim, the villages, it's not fenced in. So he says you're not allowed to carry from your house to from the house to the sukkah through the street, not even through a karmelis. So although it's important to eat in the sukkah, and you can even argue the first night of sukkahs, it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to eat. Yeah, the rest of sukkahs, you can say, if you don't want to eat, you don't have to. The first night, perhaps we'll discuss this presently, the first night is compared to the first night of Pesach. You have a chamishoso, just like the first night of Pesach is a mitzvah to eat a kazayis matzah, so the first night of Sukkot is a mitzvah to eat a kazayis in the Sukkot. So then you could ask the question, should this mitzvah, the rais of eating the Sukkot, be doiche the isud rabbonon of carrying when there's no Erev? But the Mishnah Berurah paskens from Prima Godim, doesn't differentiate, you cannot violate the Erev, or the lack of Erev rather, to in order to eat the Sukkot. But then, this is what bothered me. V'chein shnei sukkos b'chotzer echad shloi evu evu chatzeres. Two sukkos in one chotzer, which did not make an erev, you may not carry from one sukkah to the other. I didn't understand what he's trying. What's his problem? You got two sukkos in a chotzer. One sukkah belongs to Reuven. One sukkah belongs to Shimon. They did not make an erev. So he says you're not allowed to carry from one to the other. What's the chiddush? So you didn't have an erev. My komashmalo. He just said that you're not allowed to violate, you're not allowed to carry when to the sukkah, but there's no erev. So now you've got two sukkahs in the yard. So therefore, but there's lack of erev because it's a multiple rishus. So I was thinking about what's the prima god, and the Mishnah Berurah says it's also the prima godim says nira de osu. He's not sure, but it's a nira. So after on reflection, I want to suggest the following one. The halacha is that open air properties, premises, are considered all one rishus. Gagois, chatzeirois, v'karfifois. Rishus achas hein lekelu sheshavsu besoichon veloy lekelim sheshavsu bebayis, which means that I have a back-to-back neighbor, also a hamish yid. I'm not allowed to carry. He wants to have some milk. I can't take some milk from my fridge and pass it over the fence to him because I don't have an eruv. But the garden chair, which I left, when the onset of Shabbos, the garden chair was in the garden, that I'm allowed to pass over the fence. Because open air premises are considered all one rishus. So now you've got two sukkahs in the one chotzer. The sofek is, do you say the sukkah is considered a roofed property, a roofed premises, and therefore it asserts a separate rishus? Or do you say it's not a proper roof? It's meant to be that rain can come through. So therefore, it's kelim. So therefore, it's all rishus achas. That possibly is the prima godim's clear his concern. Perhaps you should say the two sukkahs are considered all open air, and therefore it's all one happy rishus. It should be allowed to. Lepoyoli comes to the maskona that you're not allowed to, possibly because Teishu came to Duru, therefore it becomes like a bias. Okay. Let's go on to an interesting question. I get questions from people in interesting situations. That makes life interesting. So, I had a Talmida who learned in a school here in Stamford Hill, and we learned the dinim of Netilas Yadayim. And one of the chumras in the Netilas Yadayim, perhaps not only Yasser Asamechura, is that if you have tibuli b'mashke, if you have a food dipped in liquid, one of the seven liquids, so then there is a union of Netilas Yadayim shaloi bebracha. Some people are machmir, some people are not machmir. Al kedei kach, you have many minhogim that the night of the Seder, I believe, Yechya Sheminik, that only the balabais washes Netilas Yadayim, because they hold that the union of Tibuli B'mashke is a chumra which is not binding today, only bizman that truma was applicable. Other people are machmer all year round. Okay, so we learned about this halacha, about Tibuli B'mashke. In their shul, somewhere in Europe, they have people who come to shul who are not going to, Nishkan Hamish Eden. And so they make kiddush in shul, they give them mezonos. And then Rosh Hashanah by night, they give them apples and honey. Now, dipping an apple in honey is a tibuli b'mashke. So if so, the shaila which I got was, Are we being nebuch machshil those Yidden who are coming to shul by having tibbulei b'mashke? That was her question. I was actually very impressed with the sensitivity. But first of all, this is a chumrah, you know, in the Fnimashir Sadin. For these Yidden, it's okay. The second thing is on the Lundus, is honey a mashke? Now, honey is definitely one of the Shiva mashke. But, b'med v'orem amurim, if it's a honey made for drinking. But if the honey was produced for eating rather than for drinking, then that honey doesn't have the status of mashke. Therefore, you have now an element of suffolk. Because the honey which I have in my larder is going to probably end up in a honey cake. Very little of the honey in my house is going to end up in a cup of tea, etc., and as a drink. Most of the honey is going to be used as an oichel or a mashke. If that is true universally, at least in large communities, it would therefore say that the honey is not going to get off mashke. And therefore the question of tibbulei b'mashke would fall away. So that was what I answered. You got here, first of all, it's a chumrah, and even if it's a chumrah, it's a sofek, whether it is a tibbulei b'mashke.
Is the dvash that's a mashke, dvash tamorim or dvash?
No, dvash devoidim.
Dvash devoidim.
Dvash tamorim has got a din of made peiris, and it wouldn't be machmitz for Pesach, for example. Yeah. Okay.
Does honey wood be machmitz for Pesach?
You're right. It's only water is machmitz. Yeah. So, machmitz would work after Rosh Hashanah. You don't make an Isa only of May Peres. You have to have it with one of the Shiva Mashkin. Let's go on to another halacha. Also an interesting situation. There's a halacha on Yom Kippur that for Havdalah you have to have a Ner Sheshavas, which means a candle which has been burning the whole 24 hours of Yom Kippur without any malacha done to it. It was beheter, and the end of Yom Kippur it's still alight, and you make the bracha Beirim Ariyosh. This year is interesting because this year Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, and therefore there's a question, what about can you make Beirim Ariyosh on a not Ner Sheshavas? Shkunach Rav says you can, cannot, other Paschim say you can. But that's not the point. The point here is, why is it a mitzvah of Motzah Shabbos, sorry, Motzah Yom Kippur, to use a Ner Sheshavas? Nochmere, that the din is that on Motzah Shabbos, you don't have to go out of your way excessively to find a fire. If you don't have, you don't have. Well, that's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Seresh, Tzadik Ches, whatever. When it comes to Motzah Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to go out of your way to find a Ner Sheshavas and to make a bracha Beirim Ariyosh. As they say in Seresh, Tzadik Ches, or Tzadik Vov, whatever, in the dinim of Havdalah on Motzah Shabbos. So let's explain, what is this Ner Sheshavas? Why is it needed? So what's going on is like this. Shabbos, we know you're not allowed to do any melacha. Yom Tov, you are allowed to do meleches ochel nefesh. Yom Kippur is somewhere in between. Yom Kippur, it's the restrictions are the same as Shabbos. What you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur. But it's, what's the consequences, what's the oinish for violation of Shabbos, skila, chayiv chatos. Yom Kippur is kodes. Yom Tov is malchus. So now, Yom Kippur can be midweek, can be Wednesday. So in the mind of an ignorant person, Yom Kippur might be more like Yom Tov than Shabbos. And therefore, they might think, just like on Yom Tov, you're allowed to light a fire. Well, I mean, they're born from existing flame. So they might think that Yom Kippur is also the same. That there is a heter because it's midweek, it's not Shabbos. Come the Chachom and say, no, you're going to light a flame, you're going to leave it for 24 hours untouched, and then you're going to make Beirim Ariyosh. Motzei Shabbos, why are you making Beit HaMikdash? Because this is the anniversary where Odom HaRishon was inspired to rub two stones together and to create fire. Wednesday night is not an anniversary of anything, as far as fire is concerned. So what's the bracha for? The bracha is to emphasize that Yom Kippur is not like Yom Tov, but like Shabbos, and that fire is forbidden to be active with. And that's what the message of the Ner Shashavas is. Good? I think it's very clear.
Well, why Shabbos don't use Ner Shabbos?
By Shabbos, it doesn't need... Shabbos Vaker is commemorating how Odom HaRishon rubbed two stones together and created, ignited fire. That's what the Motzei Shabbos Ben Meirish is. Here, the message is that fire is out of bounds for 24 hours. That's why you have to have that Ner, which is there, out of bounds, and that's how he's going to get that message across.
So for this year, Motzei Shabbos, when it's Yom Kippur,
yes,
you shouldn't need the Ner Shabbos.
But you got it. Yeah, all right. All you say, little flug. That's, as I said. Okay, cool. All right. So, as I say, other poskim say you could make a bracha of Meir Meirish on this because of Motzei Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch takes the position that because it's Yom Kippur, then it's a bracha of Avtala. And you have to have Dafkei Ner Shabbos. Okay. I didn't go into that this year, but okay. The halacha on a practical level, Ner Shabbos, if you have a second generation Ner Shabbos, in other words, your candle, you put another candle to the first candle, so then the next generation is also fine. And this is also very practical. Many of us will have a Yahrzeit candle lighting, burning at home. The Yahrzeit candle is not so straightforward that you can make a bracha Beir Meir Ha'esh because it's lit l'kovod, not l'oira. And therefore, to make a bracha Beir Meir Ha'esh on a Yahrzeit candle is questionable. So what you do is, you put another candle to it. So then, the quality of Ner Shashovas is there in the Yahrzeit candle. The added candle is l'oira. And then you can make a bracha without a shayla. So I had the following question. Now, that's the interesting situation. That a young man who's active in a community, his premises are not big enough for Yom Kippur. He's expecting a much larger crowd in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, people are nisoyrer, and so if the whole year you don't see them, but Yom Kippur, it has a larger crowd. So he, in order to accommodate this overflow, so he's renting a room in a hotel.
Fine.
He asked me about bringing the Sefer Torah for the one day. Normally one doesn't like to schlep a Sefer Torah for one day. I asked him, by the way, what are you going to do for Ner Shashovas? You're going to come Motzei Yom Kippur, you want to make Havdalah, and you need a Ner Shashovas. Many hotels do not allow a naked flame to be left overnight. So what are you going to do? Because so what I suggested to him is that his Rebbetzin stays home just at the end of the Ne'ilah, and they have a Ner Shabbos at home, lights a cigarette from the Ner Shabbos at home, brings the lit cigarette, it gets in the car, whatever, and it brings it to the shul, and then for the lit cigarette, you'll light a match, and then you'll have a Ner Shabbos third generation, which is also acceptable, la halach. Just a practical suggestion. Now, pardon? Of the smoking?
Yeah, smoking.
Aha, yeah. She's a filter. Tell her to use a filter. I don't know, can a cigarette continue to smoulder without inhaling?
Yes.
Okay, I don't smoke, I don't know. Okay, let's go on to another thing. The night of Rosh Hashanah, if you forget the Yalav Yafeh, you have to repeat benchin. Machlokes. Why? What's the machlokes? Because there are those who say you're allowed to fast in Yom Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the Suda is not a
fasting.
There are poskim who say that it's even a hidur to fast in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the rules of forgetting Yalav Yovei is when there's a chiyuv of Suda, like a Shabbos and Yom Tov, you forget Yalav Yovei, you have to repeat benching. But if it's not a chiyuv sud, like Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, if you forget Yalav Yavoy, you don't have to repeat. Although Rosh Hashanah is Yom Tov, and ostensibly there's a chiyuv sudah, but since there are poskim who allow you to fast, who recommend that you fast, therefore the poskim say you don't have to repeat. The Rav, he makes a difference, the Baal Tanya makes a difference between by night and by day, and he says if you forget by night, you have to repeat. But I'll ask you the following question. The night of Rosh Chodesh, if you get Yalav Yovi in Shmoneh Esrei, you have to repeat?
No.
Why not? Because in the precedent, in Zman Beis Din, they would only confirm the following day. So therefore by night it's still pending. If so, every Rosh Hashanah, by night of Rosh Hashanah, they didn't know whether the Eidim would come. See, if so, every Rosh Hashanah should have the same status of Leil Rosh Hashanah, should be the status of Leil Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, you should say, if you forget Yalav Yom, or Melech HaKodesh, or in benching, or in davening, or whatever, you shouldn't have to repeat. Yeah? This Shaila is already mentioned in Rabbeinu Yoina, in Brochus. I just want to suggest a mahalach, which may be pshat in Rabbeinu Yoina, may not be. They didn't know. Not a right. Not the, when the shluchim would arrive. Let's just picture what happened in those days. You know, I don't want to spend too much time on this kalkulu alavim bashir. The whole story that one time they were waiting for the witnesses to come, and it came so late. The Beis Din said to the Beis people, the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim, just go on as if it were a weekday. They're not going to come. And they did the karbonis, karbon tomish, alachav osarayim, on the weekday. And then the Eidim come 4 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon, and all of a sudden it now Rosh Hashanah, and they have to redo the karbonis, etc. So they made a new takana that there's going to be a deadline. That if the Eidim arrive and they manage to be Mekadosh HaKodesh before Chatzos, good. If not, it's going to be adjourned. They're going to make Rosh Hashanah the next day. So now, just picture what's going on. It's going to be the night, Wednesday night, yeah? We're going looking back. Wednesday night, so in Eretz Yisrael, so people are, they go to shul, and they make kiddush, and they have the apple and the honey, and the simonim. Yeah, they're not sure, it could be tomorrow the Eidim will come, won't come. It'll come then morning, they'll go to shul, and then they blow tkiyas. Still, we're not sure. They'll come 12 o'clock, and the Eidim haven't arrived. What happens now? So now it's confirmed that today's not Rosh Hashanah. Okay, chevre. Take off your shabbos, put on your jeans, take out your laptop, and you start sending SMSs. Put on Phil. Okay. You know what's going to happen next year? They're going to be the Litzoni Hador will say, these rabbis, you know what, I'm busy. When they're ready, when they know where they're going to Rosh Hashanah, tell me, send me an SMS. The loyal Zalzel Behu. So therefore they made a takana that even if the Eidim did not arrive, Goyimrin Oisei Hayoyim B'Kedusha, that first day from noon until nightfall will be Osur B'Mlocha, will be Rosh Hashanah Midrabonon, and then the Rosh Hashanah D'Oraisa will be Thursday night and Friday. This is the basis of that every kid knows the language that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Arichta. It's all one long day. You know the language. A child might be tempted to ask you, do I have to daven Shacharis twice? Because it's a Yom Arichta. But that's not the pshat. The word of Yom Arichta means that not like the 2 days of Yom Tov in Golis, where it's either me or you, mutually exclusive. Here, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is me and you. Like a Shabbos and a Yom Tov on a Sunday or a Yom Tov on a Friday. Which me and you. Difference being that if a chicken lays an egg on Yom Tov Rishon, you are allowed to eat it on Yom Tov Sheni because it's either me or you. If a chicken lays an egg on Shabbos and Yom Tov is on Sunday, you're not allowed to eat it because it's me and you. And on Rosh Hashanah, if a chicken lays an egg on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to eat it on the second day because the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is me and you. Oh, so If so, back to our question. The night of Rosh Hashanah you forgot Yalla V'Yovel. Is it a suffix whether today's Rosh Hashanah? Even if the Eidim won't come, it's still going to remain Rosh Hashanah. Midrabonon. But there's no suffix anymore. And therefore, if you forget Yalla V'Yovel, you have to repeat Benji. If you forget HaMelech HaKodesh, you have to repeat Shemin Esrei, etc. There's no suffix here. After the Takon, before the Takon of Niskalkol Avim Bashir, there's an element of suffix. But after that Takona, the Yom Rishnis was sure going to be a Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore there's no doubt, and you have to repeat your tefillah or benching. One last halach which I'll share with you, and that is, the first night of Sukkot, there's a mitzvah to eat a kazayas in the Sukkah, and just like we know the Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, about not eating on Erev Pesach afternoon, in order that you should have an appetite for the matzah, for the kazayas matzah, the same halacha is for the first night of Sukkot, that Erev Sukkot afternoon, you don't indulge too much, in order that you should have an appetite for the first kazayas in the Sukkah. That's also a reason why we wouldn't daven, we wouldn't make Kiddush before Nacht, before nightfall on the first night of Sukkot, because you don't want to have, you don't want to be Mekayim, you know, you have the first Kazai, it's like the first night of Pesach, you can't start the meal early. Same thing the first night of Sukkot. So I have another question from another Ingeman or Shliach somewhere in Germany, and he has a community who come to Shul. He, even if he invites them for the meal to his house, they won't, to his sukkah, they won't come. So he's making a kiddush, sukkahs by night, in the sukkah of the shul. And he's serving them mini mezonos. Kiddush and cake. And his question is one mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of eating a kazayis in the sukkah with cake? Why would you think, why not? Because when it comes to matzah, there's a din of matzah that mustn't be. It has to be just plain flour and water. Therefore, you could say the same thing. The kazayis of hamoitzi has to be hamoitzi. I don't know whether this is a universal minig. Do you dip the challah in honey on Sukkot? Okay.
Yes.
Well, so then you're not chayshish lechayre. You're not allowed to have the matzah with any other food. You're not allowed to flavour the matzah. If the whole chashash is that you want to say is kishtesvav tesvav, and just like matzah has to be just flour and water, therefore you shouldn't have cake for the first night of Sukkot. But the minhag Yisrael of dipping challah in honey shows, and certainly, how many people have you heard that they make dafka water challah for the first night of Sukkot?
Sesame seeds and poppy seeds
on it. And the challah itself is made with
why didn't you have maple on the first night of Sukkot?
Okay, that's a special limit. There's a special limit that you don't have to have matzah. Yeah, but the question is, how far does it go? And so there is a prima godim who's noted to say it has to be taka plain flour and water. But there are other poskim who take it doesn't matter. Just to summarize this point. The question here is, what is the difference between a piece of cake and a piece of bread? Are they two different mahuyos, different status completely? Or is it, this is lechem gomur, and this is lechem she'enei gomur? We all know that if you have a larger amount of cake, then it becomes hamotzi. So there's two ways of looking at it. One is saying that really it's a separate thing altogether, but by having a lot of it, it becomes a new status. Or the pshat is no. Be'etzim, mezoinis is also, it's also lechem. It's just that it's a kind of lechem that people just have as a snack.
And Shabbos morning you can make kiddush with it, so it's no
problem. Yeah, yeah. So, as a result, my conclusion in this was, which is now not the time for the arichas, but my conclusion was that you can be mekayim mitzvah sukkah with minim mezainis, and therefore, when this ingeman has got these guests and is bringing them into the sukkah, the first night of sukkahs, and he's making kiddush, and they're going to have a kazai, don't have to have a kabetza. The rest of sukkahs, you have to have kabetza v'oid to be yotze mitzvah, make a relationship of sukkah the first night. because of the hekesh of tesvov tesvov, a kazayas is enough. If they have a kazayas of mezonos, so they are yotzei their mitzvah. I wish you all a gemar chasima toiva, l'shana toiva, mesukah.